I want to begin by saying how very much I appreciate the support that the Tri-Cities Church has provided for me through the last several years. After I stopped preaching at Tharptown, I began doing some work in other parts of the world, and you have been an important part of that work. And so as I begin my presentation tonight, you're going to see some people and meet some people and maybe go to some places that you have seen only on a map or in a book. There are seven continents on this earth. You can see part of one right here. This is the very top part of Australia. The part of the world where we are going to be going tonight is this part, all in the darker shades of green. The name of the country is Indonesia. It is composed of thousands of volcanic islands, some of them very small, a few of them quite large. And it is in the section of the world which some people call the Ring of Fire. And the reason it is called that is because there are many active volcanoes in Indonesia. And sometimes those volcanoes can disrupt the best laid plans. I have been in the airport and looked up on the screen and said, your flight has been canceled because the volcano was spitting out ash and the planes cannot fly through the ash. So this is a part of the world that is in many respects much different from us. It is also a part of the world where there is no real distinction between summer and winter. It's so close to the equator that there is very little variation in the temperature. And you may think, oh, that's really nice. The average temperature of the place where I was on the island of Bali was 84 degrees. Now, that sounds very comfortable, but the humidity was such that the heat index was 94 to 96. And so these people don't know anything about snow. They don't know anything about cold weather. Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world. There are going to be some rather oddities about this as we go through this presentation. But I'm going to leave, I think, on January the 14th, and I'm going to transit through San Francisco to Singapore, and then from Singapore I'm going to go to Bali. Now, the trip did not start off well, because 2 days before I left, there was a bad winter storm that came through the central part of the country. And as a result, I missed my flight. I wound up in San Francisco about midnight when I was supposed to get there, about 9 o'clock. And so I had to stay in San Francisco overnight. But eventually, I got to Bali. Now, in case you don't know where Bali is, it is right here. It is a rather small island on the archipelago that runs all the way. This is East Timor. This is the island of Java, and this is the island of Sumatra. Sumatra and Java, or at least Sumatra and Bali, will be the two places that I'm going to go on this trip. And if this little thing will work. Okay. I need some technical help. I cannot get. Okay, I'll just do it this way. That's okay. Now, I want you. This architecture is typical Balinese architecture, but there's something about this. This is rather peculiar. This is a temple. And there are little temples all over the island of Bali, which you may think, but temples and mosques don't go together. And that's correct. Bali is major Hindu, which is rather an oddity in the country of Indonesia, because most people are Muslims. But on Bali, for some reason, there were evidently a number of people who immigrated from India. They brought their religion with them. And as such, there are many, many little temples like this. And in the morning, this is sunrise in Bali, and it turns out to be a very beautiful day. And what will happen is that on each of these little shrines, whether it is in a business or whether it is in a home, people are going to offer sacrifices. Now, don't get worried. They're not alive. They offer sacrifices generally of incense, of flowers, and sometimes fruit. And wherever you go, you have to watch where you step, because if there is a business that is owned by Hindu people, then they will put all of this stuff on the sidewalk, which makes really for a great difficulty in cleaning up this stuff. And it's interesting that this is a daily practice. It's not something that happens once a week, but it happens every day. The island of Bali is a playground. It is a resort, particularly for people from Australia. It is surrounded by the ocean, beautiful waters. Many people go there to surf. And so I'm going to introduce you to two people. I'm going to introduce you to the man that is right here. This man's name is Peter. Now, he has a very pensive look on his face. Don't get worried. Peter is not in an argument. But Peter Joshua is a man of 34 years old now. I met him maybe 5 years ago in Singapore. We studied together, and Peter decided that he wanted to be baptized. And along with that, his being baptized, his sister also was baptized, but she does not live in Bali. She lives on the island of Java. Since that time, his sister has become unfaithful, but Peter has a great burden, if I could use that word, on his shoulders, because he is the only man in the church in Bali, at least in the part of Bali which is called Kuta. The Kuta church meets in the shop where he and his partner, and we'll meet Marlene in just a moment, where they operate a hobby business. And I'll show you a picture of that in just a moment, because we will meet there on a Sunday morning. This picture is, and I'm sorry that I cannot remember, her name is not Loretta, but it's something like this. This lady owns a school, or at least is the administrator of a school, which is sort of an odd school. It is made for people who've either dropped out of school and would like to continue their education, or it is also for students who may have special challenges. They may have physical challenges. Some of them have mental challenges. So it's really an interesting school. In other words, it's a school where nobody else wants to go. And Peter somehow was able to arrange that I would go to the school each day of the week, and I would have about an hour with some students, an hour and a half to 2 hours with other students. And I'm going to be teaching some things. I really was told in a very gentle and kind way, please do not talk much about the Bible. And so I had to sort of approach this from the back door. We had to talk about some principles that are biblical principles, while not specifically related to a Bible verse. Now, you may be wondering why. Well, because you're going to see in some of the pictures of the students why the administrator was a little bit shy about talking about the Bible. But she was very, very welcoming to me. In fact, she asked me, please find me a husband. And I told her that I would be on the lookout for her. So if any of you men know anybody, any man that would like to go to Indonesia and talk to this lady, I can set you up. I want to tell you that there is civilization in Bali. This is one of Peter's favorite places. In fact, every time we would go by this place, on the way to the school, he would say something like, did you see that? I said, yes. I said, there's DD, Dunkin' Donuts. And this is a rather recent development, and this will be my last attempt at humor for the present time. this is an evening study in the hotel where I'm staying. One of the good things about Bali is that hotels are really cheap. I stayed in two different hotels, both of them very nice hotels, including a breakfast for under $30 a night. I don't think you can even go to the place where they leave the light on for you for $30 a night. But we're having a study this evening, and these ladies that you see around the table, and you see Peter's raising his hand, these ladies are from an island called Sulawesi, which is sort of north and west of Bali. They've recently moved here. They're Christians, and there is a church where they have come from. And we study almost each night as we have the opportunity. We basically begin with questions. And if there aren't any questions, then I have some questions for them. And we may study anywhere from an hour to 2 hours in the evening. And this lady, this one right here, works at this hotel. And so she's sort of at home. This lady is Marlene. Her name is Marlene Canby. She and Peter are business partners and have been for a good while. Marlene is also a Christian. And these two people, unfortunately, are the only two faithful Christians that I could find within this within the city of Kuta. And they meet together every Sunday, and we will see where they meet in just a moment. There are some strange statues. Hindu people are really very, very strange because they have hundreds, thousands, if not millions of gods. And some of their gods are grotesque. Well, this happens to be the backside. I couldn't get the front side for some reason. The backside of one of their statues, and they're everywhere. In fact, they are very typical of Balinese culture, and you can hardly go anywhere without finding some sort of reference to a Hindu god. Now, this is inside Peter's shop, and you'll notice there are no pews. In fact, Peter is sitting, I think, on a bucket. I'm not certain. And this man here is named Jefferson. I remember his name because we had a president by the name of Jefferson, so I was able to remember his name. He is not a Christian. He does not have a Bible. We're going to remedy that in just a little while, and I will show you. I have a picture of my giving him a Bible. But we're learning some songs, and you can see that their songbook looks just like ours. And some of the songs they sing are in our songbook, but they don't sing them just exactly like we do sometimes. Because, like I say, Peter is the only man there, and he is the one who not only leads the singing, he officiates at the Lord's Supper, he brings a lesson, he does everything. That's why I said he has a great burden on his shoulder. And so I will make a pitch. If you know anyone who, any man who has a good wife, who would like to take an extended trip to Bali and work among these people, there is a real need there. Because Peter is an anxious student. He is like a sponge. He soaks up information, and he is a joy to be around. But he is a young Christian. He has a lot of responsibility. And as such, he could really use some mentoring. So if you know someone who might be interested in doing this kind of work, if you'll kindly get them in touch with me, I will make sure that they get in touch with Peter. This is our Sunday morning assembly. And you'll notice that, again, it's sort of crowded. And we do everything that you do. We sing. Now, our song selection is a little bit more restricted than yours because they only know about 6 to 8 songs. I've tried to teach them some new songs. So we're going to sing together. We take the supper together. I'm going to teach a lesson. And so we do everything that you do, maybe even in the same sequence that you do. Now, the sequence is not really important. But the fact is that wherever you go and you find Christians, Christians do the same things together. And the reason why we do the same things together is because we have the same book. And so as we read the book and we see what the book tells us, then that's what we want to do. We're not interested, when I say we, maybe that's a euphemistic way of talking about me. I'm not interested in trying to establish American churches in any of these places. What our interest is to try to get people to follow the Bible and to do what the Bible teaches. Now, they may not look like us. In fact, you'll notice nobody has on a tie. And they may sit on buckets or chairs instead of pews. But those are extraneous things which really are unimportant. The thing which is important is that they are following the ancient faith and they're doing what the apostles teach. Now, we're going to school today, and this school is about an hour away from our hotel, so it's going to take a while, and I need to explain a little bit about traffic in Bali. The roads are good, and the cars are good. The problem is there are hordes of motorbikes, cycles of every description, and they're everywhere. They'll cut in front of you. They'll, in fact, if you're not careful, if you're walking down the sidewalk, you may come face to face with a motorcycle or a motorbike. So traffic in this city is really hazardous to your health. So we're going to be using an Uber. Really it's not Uber. They call it something else, but the principle is still the same. It'll take us about an hour to get to the school. Usually we'll leave around 7:30 to get there by 8:30. And this young lady is doing something. I don't know what she's writing, but I told her to come up here and write. Now, Peter has to interpret for me. Many of these young people do not speak English. They speak Bahasa, which is the official, I guess that is the universal language, but there are thousands of dialects in Indonesia. But Bahasa is the official language, and so I will say something, Peter will interpret, and now this young lady is doing something for me on the board. Some of them were very reluctant because I'm an old man and they're afraid of old people, I think. But eventually we were able to sort of break the ice, and I had some really good discussions with these young people. Now, this is what I call the youngsters class. Now, these are young men and a few young ladies. They are, I think, maybe the oldest in this class is 12 years old. So there's a big, big variety of grade levels in the school. And I would take a different class each day. And I would teach them some things that, where does morality come from? Where did the world come from? How did you get here? Where are you going? These are things that we can appeal to without having to say, well, you know, the Bible teaches this and this and this. But the very fact of the matter is that the great book of nature is a great book to use in teaching people about the validity of believing in God, about the believing in God the Creator, and that you are a special creation. Many of these youngsters had never heard anything like this before. Now, this one, when in Rome, several years ago when I was there, they gave me this fabric is called batik. And almost all of the men on the island wear a batik. And so I decided that I would go native on this particular trip. I only have one shirt, and I think I wore it two times. This is a class of, I think these are the high schoolers. But I want you to notice this young lady right here. She does have hair. She's not wearing this garment for her hair, to cover her hair up. She's a Muslim girl. And so I could tell that sometimes she would listen closely and sometimes she would not. And sometimes it appeared that I might say something that she did not agree with. And so you can understand why the superintendent would say, you know, go kind of light on the Bible stuff, because we have students here who do not believe in your Bible, who do not believe in your book. And so we wanted to say some things to these students who have a variety of backgrounds. Some are Hindu, some are Muslim, some are nothing, about how you can be assured that there is a God and that God cares for you and that you're a special creation from God. Now, this is the little show-off guy. This little fellow, and I don't know what his name is. But you can see he's just full of energy. And these students really are students that don't fit in any other environment. And so it was really a pleasure for me. I don't know exactly how Peter had this arranged, but I've already decided if and when I go back to Bali, this is going to be on my agenda to go to the school. I've already been invited back and to talk some more to these students. This is the cut-up class, the clown class. Now, this is Jefferson, and I'm giving Jefferson a Bible. Now, you can buy Bibles there. In fact, I took some Bibles with me. The problem is Jefferson does not speak English. And so if he's going to have a Bible that will do him any good, he's got to have a Bible that is printed in Bahasa, which is very easy to find. It's kind of odd that you'd find Bahasa Bibles in a Hindu city, but that's still, it is very easy to find. And I don't know, somebody gave me some money to buy some Bibles, and here's one of the, here's a Bible that I was able to give to Jefferson. This lady's name is Phoebe. I wanted to call her Phoebe, but Peter kept saying, no, it's Phoebe, Phoebe. Phoebe is, I think, 24 years old. She has high blood pressure. She has diabetes. She can hardly walk. She's in the hospital. This hospital is a government hospital. It is an older hospital, but they have a special section where they deal with diabetics. And she was in pretty poor condition when she went into the hospital just about the same time that maybe a few days after I arrived in Bali. In fact, she was still in the hospital when I left. Peter and I and Marlene would go see her, and she's in a room that has another bed. There's another bed on the other side of her, but she cannot sit up, at least at this point in time. Now, she did improve a lot before I left. But in this environment, that is in this place where the humidity is so high, there's no air conditioning in this room. And when you sit in there, you're going to be drenched with sweat. Someone had to kind of wipe her brow every 2 or 3 minutes. Phoebe is a Christian. She came from Sulawesi, and she is related to some of the ladies that we saw in an earlier slide. I think Peter and Marlene and I went to see Phoebe maybe 3 or 4 times while she was in the hospital. The doctors are treating her with some sort of medication to try to get her blood pressure down and try to take care of her blood sugar. It was very, very high. And as you might expect, she is in a government hospital, which is not a private hospital. So she is going to have to receive the care that her insurance, such as limited as it was, will pay for. A couple of days after this, I didn't take a picture of this, but a couple of days later, I bought her a fan to put in the room because it was just almost unbearably hot. Now, unfortunately, about 2 days later, she was transferred into another room, and that was an air-conditioned room. Now, this is the night class at the school. The night class is with people that probably are in high school or above, or some adults who have dropped out of school. In fact, Peter at one time attended this school. And the night class was composed of about, I'm going to have to guess, about 20 to 25 people, pretty well evenly divided between men and women. Some of them did not speak English, but most of them did. And in this class, we were able to discuss more precisely some things from the Bible, because this is sort of a different circumstance from the classes that met in the daytime. And I suspect that some of these young people have never heard anything about God, about Jesus Christ, about a Bible, about the fact that you have a soul, a spirit that will never die, and that you will be somewhere when you leave this body. And so it provoked a lot of discussion. We had very good discussions. I think I met with this class twice. And it was just really a thrill to see these youngsters. Now, not everybody would pay attention. Don't misunderstand. But there were people that you could see, as you looked out and saw their faces, you could see that this is registering with this person. And this person is really concentrating. And like I say, not everybody did. In fact, at the very beginning of this class, there was a girl sitting in the back, and I could see that she was passing a note up to a girl in the front. She'd already done it once. And so the second time, I intercepted the note. And I said, in this class, we don't send notes. Now, I'm not going to read your note. And when this class is over, you may please come pick up your note. But please don't pass the notes out. Well, the girl that the note was intended for, after the class was over, she thanked me. She said, thank you. And that really meant something to me because she was paying very close attention to what I was trying to teach them. Now, the director of the school decided she was going to fix an Indonesian meal. And I always shudder just a little bit because I don't know exactly what it's going to be. And I still don't know some of the stuff that I ate. But I can tell you what some of this, and I had no problem with this, because green beans, I got that. This is chicken, and this is rice, I got that too. These are greens, I have no idea what kind of greens they are, but they are green. And this, it looks like fried chicken. Wrong, it is tofu. Tofu has no taste whatsoever. But this is their normal diet. They eat a lot of rice. They do not have a lot of protein from animals. They get protein from beans and, I guess, from tofu and things of this type. But their diet is a little bit different from ours. Now, we're going to leave Bali, which is here, and we're going to go to Lampung, which is on the island of Sumatra. But we have to go from Bali to Jakarta, which is the capital of the country, and then from Jakarta, go to Lampung. I had been in contact with a man from Lampung for almost a year, and he invited me to come and to work with him for a few days. This man's name is Lamhot. This is Lamhot right here. I'd never met him face to face, but he is a Christian. His English is very good. And the first night we were there, he arranged a meeting with his family. Now, this young man right here had a very strange story to tell. It's about demon possession. And you may think, demon possession? Who believes in demon possession? Well, you find all sorts of beliefs in places like this. But he believed that he had a friend that had been possessed by a demon. And so we talked about demonology for 2 hours. Again, remember that it is in the evening, and you don't see any air conditioners here. In fact, you don't even see a fan. And I'm sweating bullets. But we had a very good discussion. And I felt that Peter said, as well as Lamhot said, that he was very encouraged because not only he, but the rest of the family members were really impressed by our appeal to the Bible. Because oftentimes, their feelings are much stronger than what's written. And that's a very common problem, not only in foreign countries, it's a common problem here. This part of the world is really very beautiful. I wanted to show you at least some of the foliage. This was right outside my hotel window. And in the morning when I got up, I would see that beautiful tree. Well, we went way out in the sticks, I mean way out in the boondocks, for a study with a group of people, a small church of about 20 people. And before we had our study, they invited me for some refreshments. And the refreshments are up there on the table. Can you make anything out? Well, bananas, that's no problem. But this other stuff, now water, I see water. What in the world is this? That looks like a chestnut. No, that's called snake fruit. And the reason it's called snake fruit is because the skin looks like snake skin. This is rambutan, which is very common. Unfortunately, it is not quite ripe. It needs to be more red. And these are something like lychee. This is very common. Every place you go, you find fruits of this type. If you're not a fruit eater, then you need to stay home. But this is what they eat almost. They eat this continuously. And because of the climate, many of these trees bear several times during the year. This is where the saints meet. Now, they did not have pews, but they did have sort of a pulpit stand on the inside. And these are some of the people who composed the church there. They do not speak English at all. And so my lesson had to be interpreted, which sort of slows things down, but that's almost unavoidable. There are so many different dialects in this country that it would be impossible to learn even a few of them. Now, here's the songbook. Now, I made a challenge. Can you read the songbook? Where are the notes? Well, what is this? This do so mi do singing. Sacred harp singing. I've heard of sacred harp singing almost all my life. But these people actually do it because this is code. I would never figure this out. But this is a do mi so. You find the do and you got the tune. They know the tune, I guess. But there's no music here, but the music is right here. 1, 6, 2, 6. I don't know how they do this, but they sang, and it sounded pretty nice. This is our Sunday morning assembly. This is, let's see, Lamhot is not in this picture. I don't know why, but this young man right here is a Muslim man. I knew that he was coming. Lamhot has worked with him for, I think, maybe 6 or 7 weeks. They have had a Bible study almost every week. And so he told me, when you teach, he said, I would like for you to teach about conversion. And so I did. I taught from Acts chapter 8, the two cases of conversion in that chapter. And he listened, but he did not make any overt movement after the lesson was concluded. Well, I learned after I got back home, Lamhot wrote to me and he said, 2 days later, this young man was baptized. And so you may be thinking, but he is a Muslim. Yes, he is. And the interesting thing is that on Sumatra, the majority religion is Muslim, not Hindu. In fact, Bali is just an oddity. Most of the people in that country, in the entire country, are Muslim. And you may think, but Muslims don't believe the Bible. Well, but Muslims can learn to believe the Bible if you give them the proper information and if they're intellectually honest. And I think that's the key. And evidently this young man was honest enough to recognize that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Now, that evening, Peter said, I'm going to call... This woman's name is Judith, I believe. I'm going to call Judith and see if she will come meet with us. Judith works is an employee of a school of preaching in this particular city. I'm not keen on schools of preaching. For the most part, I think they are incorrectly set up. I think they can be correctly set up. But most schools of preaching in Africa and in Asia are overseen by brethren in the United States, and there's just no way that can be proper from my perspective of the Scripture. So Peter said, I'm going to call her and see if she will meet with us. And so she did. She brought her daughter. And we had a very good two-hour conversation. It was very friendly. We didn't throw barbs at each other. And she was interested to know, why do you object to something like this? And so we talked about biblical principles. And she listened carefully, and she listened respectfully. And I think that that's the proper way to resolve differences if they're going to be resolved, and that is through talking to each other and trying to work from a biblical perspective. It may take some time, but if people are honest, I think it will result in good fruit. Now, this is a mosque, little bitty mosque. There are mosques everywhere. You just can hardly imagine how many mosques. Some are big, some are little. But the problem is that if your hotel is right next to a mosque, you need earplugs. Because there are, I think, there are 5 hours of prayer for a Muslim each day. And at the hour of prayer, the muezzin will get on the loudspeaker and he will start his chant, calling the Muslims to prayer. It's on a loudspeaker. And when there are mosques all over the city, it's in stereo. So you really need to get some good earplugs. But that's just a fact of life. In fact, I suspect that most of the time people almost, it is so commonplace they pay hardly any attention to it. But mosques are everywhere. That was on the meeting that I met with the lady from the School of Preaching. It was on Sunday night. Monday morning, Peter and I went to the airport. We flew to Jakarta, from Jakarta back to Bali. And my flight back to the United States left about 2 o'clock in the morning. That was Monday. My flight left on Tuesday morning about 2 o'clock. And my first stop was Singapore. My first stop was Hong Kong. And the sun was just coming up. And I knew that I had a long way to go. You may think, well, Hong Kong, that's almost halfway home. No, it's not. It's not nearly halfway home. But the problem is that when you go from the west back to the east, you cross the international date line, which means that you start all over again. So what normally would be a 24-hour day turned out to be a 36-hour day because there is there's a 14-hour difference between here and Bali. So this is Hong Kong, and my last flight was from Denver back to Huntsville, and I was glad to be on that plane, and I was glad to be heading back home. Now, I would like to make just one observation here. This is money. This is Indonesian money. It's called a rupiah. And sometimes it can be very confusing, especially when you go to several different countries, about how much is this worth. Well, I can tell you, I have 650,000 rupiah in my pocket. 650,000 of anything is a lot of stuff. It's about $45. So $1 is worth 13,900 rupiah. So when you go to buy something, when you go to the restaurant, when you go to the store, when you go to do anything, you have to do all of this mathematical transactions, and sometimes you really make a bad deal. So that's one of the challenges of going from different cultures, because the monetary system is so very much different. But the fact is that Americans, anybody going to this country, can navigate very well because many of the commercial people speak English. The signs are in English. And there are places there that cater to Western food. And so if anyone knows someone who would be interested in at least thinking about doing some work in this country where the need is so great, I would appreciate if you would tell me. Thank you so much for listening tonight. This particular trip was not for the purpose of evangelization as such. My main reason in going was to work with Peter and Marlene and the small church in Kuta, and then also with the students at school, as well as to meet this evangelist on the island of Sumatra. But there was one person who was converted, which I think makes any trip worthwhile. There are other trips that I have planned. A week from tomorrow, I plan to go to Tanzania and to Zambia, which is in Africa. And this will be more of an evangelistic tour. So I solicit your prayers for that. If you'd like to ask me any questions when we're dismissed, I'll be glad to talk to you after we're dismissed in this service. Thank you very much for listening. If there's anyone who has determined that you need to be a Christian and you're not a Christian tonight, there's no better time for you to make that decision to become a Christian, because you're going to be somewhere in eternity and you don't want to die without being saved from your sins. The result is just disastrous. So if you'd like to become a Christian, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, and being immersed in water, we're going to sing this song to encourage you to do that. If you'd like to, come while we sing.